There are a number of things about our American holidays that and traditions that I enjoy, especially if they involve food. And we know about Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday, and I'm sure that food will be on the mind of a lot of individuals, and that's a good thing. But Thanksgiving is not just something that should be on our mind once a year. For the Christian, Thanksgiving should be on our minds each day. And in the scripture reading that Richard had there in Psalm 92 and verse 1, notice the text says that it is good to praise the Lord. I'm going to raise the question this morning, why is that good? What good does it do for us to be a thankful person, a thankful congregation, a thankful nation? It's good to see everyone this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone. If you're visiting with us, we're thankful that you're here. In the bulletin this morning, I put some Thanksgiving reminders, if you'll take a look at those, not just for this week, but for every week. And you'll notice that some of those passages are commands. We're commanded to give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 is one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. These are in the command form. But is Thanksgiving something that we do just because we're made to do it? Do we do something only when we're commanded to do it? I remember growing up at home that there were times when I would only do something if mom and dad just made me do it. Otherwise, I wasn't going to do it. So I waited for that last minute command, and then you reluctantly get up and you drag your feet and you go do it. Well, we certainly need to follow the commands of Christ. And we need to take seriously the commands of Christ. But I raise the question, is there any other motivation to be thankful other than just to follow a command? I believe there is, and the psalmist says so. And I believe what God's Word says. It is good to praise or thank the Lord. Why is it so good? And is thankfulness or gratitude merely a social courtesy? Is it just something in the Western world we teach our kids to say please and thank you? Is that just a social courtesy? Something that it's nice to do in your family, or is there more to it? I believe that that is a good social courtesy to train your children to do. Train them to say please and thank you. But is there more to it than just a social courtesy? I believe there is. The psalmist says it is a good thing to praise or give thanks unto the Lord. And this morning I want us to explore what that good thing is, what it will do for us. And hopefully we'll have it in our life every day and not just once a year. What's so good about it? Well, this morning we're going to see three things. It's going to improve our perspective on life. It's going to develop a more positive attitude. It's going to produce an attractive example or influence. It's something that Christ wants in our life, and it's so fundamental sometimes that I believe it's overlooked. It's so basic and so fundamental that I believe from time to time we need to remind ourselves of it. We're going to see some passages of Scripture in just a moment that when we don't have it in our lives, the problems that it leads to. When we are not thankful, what does it lead to? First of all, if we're thankful, it will improve our perspective. It'll improve our perspective about ourselves in relationship to God. When we say thank you, we're saying in effect that we need someone else. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Being a thankful person curbs our ego. It reminds us that we're not the only one in the universe, and the universe does not revolve around us. We need God, and we need Christ, and we need other Christians. When we say thank you to someone, we're saying, in effect, that I need something that you have. And so it improves and changes our perspective about ourselves. In Romans chapter 1, when the Gentile world of Paul's day, when they were not thankful, they became the center of their lives and they began to worship the things that they had made instead of God. And so when we're thankful, we look outside of ourselves to God. Because that knowing God, they knew God. They had evidence of God in His natural world. Verse 20. They could know God. But they chose to glorify Him not as God, neither gave thanks. They were not thankful to God and what God had provided. And so when you read on down in verses 22 and 23 and 24, they are worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, big C, God. And then they're engaged in all kinds of immorality. They're not thankful. They're thinking about themselves. What do I think and I feel and what is best for me? When we're a thankful person, we have a better perspective about our relationship with God. We need God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. What is one of the hallmarks of the grievous times that Paul said would come? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, but knowing this, that in the last days grievous or terrible times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Just underscore that. Somebody says, well, it's not a big deal to be unthankful. It is a big deal. It's one of the very things that leads to terrible problems in people's lives. What was one of the things that God warned about? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18 with regard to the Israelites going in through the wilderness and on into the promised land. And when they get over there, they're going to have land and houses to live in. What was the dangers that God warned them about through Moses? Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. Beware lest thou forget Jehovah thy God in not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget Jehovah, the God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein are fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock and so forth, the manna. You get over there and you just forget God. You're not thankful anymore because you've got your money and your house and your job and your land and you're caring for your things. Being thankful improves our perspective about who we are in relationship to God. It also improves our perspective about things, material things that we own. When we say thank you, we acknowledge that what we have is not actually our own, but it's just simply a stewardship that has been given to us by God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul talking about his own conversion. I thank Him that enabled me, Christ Jesus. Paul was thankful to Christ for that He counted me faithful, appointing me to His service. He talks about his conversion and then how he's now an apostle and he's preaching. I recognize that this has been given to me by God. I've been given a new life. I've been given a new lease on life. I was once a blasphemer and a violent aggressor, and by God's grace, I've been turned around, and so I want to use what I've been given to the best of my ability now. Thankfulness helps us to realize that what we have is from God. Do you know that we're stewards of our marriages? We're stewards of our families. We're stewards of the local church. We're stewards of just being a Christian ourselves. A stewardship means that we've been given something by God, a good thing, a great thing, and we're to use that in a good way. We're going to have to give an account of our stewardship in the judgment day. We're going to each come before the judgment seat of Christ as a steward, and we're going to have to give an account of how we've used what God has given us in these various aspects of our life, our children, and these other things. And when we're thankful along the way, we're reminded that we're simply stewards, and I want to give back to God. If we're a thankful person, it changes our perspective about God Himself. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. When we say thank you, we are forced to think about God, the giver of all gifts. Everything belongs to Him, the earth and the fullness thereof. And so when we're grateful and when we're thankful, we realize that it ultimately all comes from God. First of all, saying thank you will change our perspective about ourselves. We're not the center of the universe. About the things that we have and the relationships that we have, we're good stewards. And about God Himself. And so what it does then is it gets us out of ourselves and into others. And most importantly, into God. You look at that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the grievous times. The top of the list is men shall be lovers of self. When we're focused on ourselves, then we're not going to be thankful. When we're focused on others, we're going to be thankful. The psalmist says, it is good to give thanks. What good is it going to do us? Well, number one, it's going to change our perspective. And number two, it will develop a more positive attitude in how we approach things. There's so many people out in the world, and maybe even in the church, that live with this down-in-the-dumps attitude, a sour disposition, always negative, always complaining. And if we would be thankful for what we have and realize the blessings that we have, we would move away from that type of attitude and disposition to that which God wants in our lives. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is Paul writing from a Roman prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, and nothing be anxious or worrying, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Paul was not negative and complaining in prison. If he did have problems, he cast those cares upon the Lord. And even in difficult circumstances, in persecution types of things and suffering types of things, he's saying, rejoice and be thankful. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. A lot of times Paul writes from a context of just undergoing some sort of difficult problem in his life, some sort of persecution or struggle or trial or tribulation. And when he writes, he always has a positive tone. Why? Is it because he ignored reality? No, he was thankful. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we render again unto God for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God. What happened when Paul was in Thessalonica? What kind of people did he face there? What kind of local people? In Acts chapter 17... the Jews, being moved with jealousy, took unto them certain vile fellows of the rabble, and gathering a crowd, set the city on an uproar, and assaulting the house of Jason, they sought to bring them forth to the people. Just before that in Philippi, he had been in jail. And yet when Paul writes, verse 9, "For what thanksgiving can we render again unto God for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God?" Paul was a realist. He realized the physical problems that he was going through, but his attitude was different because he was thankful. You never find him complaining and being negative and down in the dumps. He's always thankful to God for what he had in Christ. Thanksgiving generates the positive attitude that Christ wants in our life. And often what happens is that when relationships wear off and wear down, then we stop being thankful. Have you ever noticed that in life, that when a relationship is new, everybody's thankful, everybody's grateful, everybody is on their best behavior? Let's just look at a few examples. When you get married, going on your honeymoon, everybody's saying thank you. Everybody's being cordial. Everybody's being nice. Everybody is appreciating everybody. But then you've been married 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years. I don't do it as much as I should, but I try to tell Sherry thank you. When your spouse does something nice for you, it'd be good to say thank you, even if you've been married 30 years or more. When you first have that baby, bring the baby home, everybody's thankful. Thank you, Lord, for this child. Everybody's excited. Everybody's nice. Everybody's caring. What about when they're 10 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old, 25 years old? Still thankful? When relationships are new, we're thankful. We're appreciative. We're grateful. Christ wants us to have that all throughout the relationship, not just at the beginning. Why? Because it gives us the disposition and the attitude that we're to have all throughout our life. We see it in marriage. We see it in children. We might see it in getting our job. We get a job. We're so thankful to the boss. We're thankful for what we have, and we're excited. But we've been working for him for 15 years, 20 years, and not thankful anymore. What about a local congregation? When the relationships are new, people are thankful. They're grateful. They're excited. They're appreciative. But as the relationship goes on, are we still thankful? Are we still thankful for the minister? Are we still thankful for the elders? Are we still thankful for the deacons? Are we still thankful for the Bible class teachers? As a relationship goes on, don't allow the devil to get in and where we lose sight of our thankfulness and our gratefulness and our gratitude. I've known of situations in a local congregation where we'll use the elders as an example. We could use the ministers, we could use the deacons, we could use anybody in the local church. But I've known of situations where a congregation didn't have elders. And they worked to get elders for the very first time in their entire history of the congregation. And there's excitement and there's gratitude and the members are thankful that we finally got elders. And the men especially, we don't have to have those men's business meetings anymore. Everybody's thankful. Then a year or two goes by, 3, 4, 5 years go by, and there's grumbling and complaining about the elders that we have. You see, when relationships are new, we're thankful. As time goes on, the devil gets in and gets us to lose sight of that. I want to personally thank Bob and Clarence for their service as elders. I want to personally thank each one of our deacons for your service. I want to thank all of our Bible class teachers for the work that you put in preparing your classes. and all of the members here. Much of what we experience just going through the service, just the service that we've had this morning, has been done by individuals who are volunteering their service and their work and their time so that the service goes smoothly, and we're the recipients of that. I want to say thank you. And mean that. Because it keeps us away from Philippians 2:14, the murmuring and the complaining and that type of thing. I'm thankful to be laboring and preaching with this congregation. For the opportunity to try to teach and spread the word in this community. I'm thankful for Morrill Boyd and his volunteering of the funds to have a radio program to teach the gospel in this community. And he's no longer with us. But he wants to hear every Saturday morning. We have an opportunity to teach and preach, and I'm grateful for that. It's going to change our attitude. And Paul is a supreme example of that. Beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and all of this, and he writes about thankfulness in his letters. It really does change our approach to life. And number three, it will develop a more attractive person. You know, when you look at the commercials today, it's all about physical attraction. And so there's something dealing with physical beauty, how you look, how you smell, that type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with looking nice and smelling nice and that type of thing. But attraction in the world is simply an outward attraction. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. What Christ wants is an attraction that comes from putting him on what Peter calls the hidden man of the heart, an inward attraction. Nobody wants to be around an unthankful person. Nobody wants to be around someone who's constantly grumbling and complaining. That's not attractive. And look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 to put on. There's qualities as a Christian that we're to put on each day. And so when we get up in the morning and we get ourselves ready to go out to work and to school and our other activities, you're thinking about your wardrobe. Think about putting on Christ. When you look in the mirror, don't just think about, are my clothes straight and my hair and my makeup and all of that. But look in the mirror and say, do I have these qualities of Christ? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And having put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge. I believe verse 10, it's not a static one-time situation. If you're being renewed, that means each day you can get better and better at these things. Being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as God's elect, holy and beloved. What are we to put on each day? A heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, there's your patience, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's what is putting Christ on. A thankful person has put Christ on that day. And that's what's attractive. That's what God is looking for. And so it's the clothing, if you will, that God wants us to put on. How do we show our thanks? Well, turn with me to Luke 17. And again, this is simple, but it's a good reminder. Just voice it. Express it. I think we're getting away from that. Just saying thank you to someone. It's interesting, I've noticed that in the world around me, and then sometimes you'll see this even among some brethren, for some reason people have a hard time saying thank you. They just can't bring themselves to express it. And sometimes the best you can get out of them is that they'll acknowledge that something was done. But they won't say the words, thank you. Hester bought us some bread, I guess it was Friday or so. Good homemade bread from Silka's. On Saturday, after I had a piece of that for lunch, I texted her and thanked her. But use that as an illustration, it'd be something like this. Rather than me saying thank you to Hester, it'd be something like, Hester, I noticed you bought some bread. Something like that. Okay. And all they can get out is just some statement of some reality or fact. I already know that. Hester's saying, oh, yeah, I know that. Have you ever noticed that? We can't say thank you to anybody. We might just acknowledge something that was done of some factual nature. But look at Luke 17. Why is this Samaritan praised by Jesus? And by the way, the Jews were like, well, the Samaritans, they're terrible people. Oh, really? The Samaritan is held up as this example. Why? Because he came back and actually expressed his thanks. And didn't just walk off and run away and grab what he got and ran off. Like the other nine. Look at Luke 17:11. And it came to pass as they were on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And we can't even appreciate the problem of having leprosy. Read again Leviticus 13 and 14. All of the problems that you have to face just on a daily, hourly basis when you have leprosy. These 10 men have this terrible thing that has affected all aspects of their life. And they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. He worked a miracle. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice glorifying God. And he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, and this is one of the greatest questions of Jesus ever. Where are the nine? Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? That's a question teaching ingratitude, a lack of gratitude, a lack of thankfulness. Where are the 9? Were not none found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He got more than cleansing from leprosy because of his faith and just simply being thankful. Parents, grandparents, one of the greatest things that you can teach your children and grandchildren is to, when they receive something that's good and nice that's been done for them, to say thank you and not just grab it and run off. The 9 grabbed it and ran off. Boy, I got my cleansing. I'm on my way. Got my cleansing. Boy, I feel great. Wait a minute. Back up the horse a minute. Who just did this for you? No, it's about me. It's my world. I got what I want. I grabbed what I want and ran off. One of the greatest things you can do for your children and grandchildren is to teach them just the simple thing of saying thank you when they're given something. Because it goes a long way later in life to having a right relationship with God. Express it. Let's not take each other for granted, but express to one another the thankfulness that we have for the service that we're providing each other. Voice it, express it. And don't ever grab something that's good and run off. That's the Gentile world of Romans 1. That's the grievous world of 2 Timothy 3. And we don't want to get into that world. Voice it, express it, sing it, sing out. Turn with me to Colossians 3:16. One reason why we need to be just singing at the top of our voices. And I noticed this morning in some of our songs, thinking about this, that there's so much in our songs that express what we have gratitude for in Jesus Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. And some of the newer versions say singing with thanksgiving in your hearts. Singing with thanksgiving. Sing it. Sing out. Sing at the top of your voice. Pray it. Paul talks about, I give thanks to God, making mention of you in my prayers. Clearly, it was prayers that had thanksgiving in it. Do our prayers include thanksgiving? Let me encourage us. There are times maybe when we need to pray in a more brief way, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But make sure that we're praying in Christians, young Christians, here this morning, at school, other places. Make sure that you pray and that you're thankful. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Are we all praying for our meals? Are we all praying for our meals? You say, well, why do you ask that? It's a good reminder. Sometimes we let the ball slip a little bit. Are we praying for our meals and thanking the Lord for what we're about to eat? Look at 1 Timothy 4 with me, verse 3. When Jesus fed the 5,000, before He broke the bread, it said that He gave thanks. 1 Timothy 4, verse 3, some were commanding to abstain from meats, but Paul says, no, we can eat meat, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified, set apart through the word of God and prayer. That's why we need to pray for our meal. Don't forget to do that. And when you're in the school cafeteria, do it. When you're at the restaurant, do it. When you're at home, when you're out at the park, wherever you're at, by yourself. Thank God for your food and so many other things that He gives you. We can write it. You ever considered Paul, when he's talking about thanksgiving? What's interesting is that he, of course, is practicing it in his own life, but there's so many places where he's writing about being thankful. Why write that? Why mention that? Because he was so thankful that he wanted to put it in writing. First, I thank my God. He just tells the Romans in a letter about how that I'm thankful to God. And I put etc. there because there's too many places to mention it. He writes it out. Write out your thanks. And then act it out. Do you know that our presence here this morning, in part, is showing our thankfulness? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Our actions. A person can go through actions and he doesn't even have to say anything. And he's showing his thankfulness to the Lord because he wants to be present in the assembly to worship God. He wants to do some activity for the work of the church outside the assembly. He's just quietly acting as a Christian should act. And in doing that, he's expressing thanks to God and he's not even opening up his mouth. Whatsoever you do in word, we've already talked about that, but look at this. Or in deed, our actions. Number one, do all in the name of the Lord by His authority, giving thanks to God. Our deeds give thanks to God. That's why it's good to be here. And we certainly pray for those who are physically ill. But if someone is spiritually ill and not here for that reason, one thing that would help is for them to realize to be more thankful to God for what Jesus did on the cross. I want to be here to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. So I'm going to show that when I take the Lord's Supper. Indeed, Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. That includes our actions. We can show thankfulness without even opening up our mouth by doing what a Christian needs to do. Well, as we close this morning, does your perspective, does my perspective need to be changed in some way? Saying thank you on a daily basis will curb my ego and get me to come out of myself and into serving God more. Does my attitude need adjusting? And getting away from the negativity and the pessimism and the complaining and the murmuring, which Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 was the very downfall of some of the Israelites in the wilderness. And have that positive attitude that Paul had even in difficult circumstances because he was thankful. And does our attraction, our influence, our appearance spiritually need remodeling? Where when we put on Christ each day, it will include that of thanksgiving. Let's try saying thank you more for each other and for the things that God gives us in life. It's not a once a year situation. And while I appreciate that tradition, they say goes back to George Washington. I wasn't there when he recommended that in the late 1700s. But we've had this tradition for over 100 years now, and I like it. But Thanksgiving goes back beyond George Washington. It goes back to the Bible. And it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. And I hope this morning we've seen why. And hopefully we'll go out and do that. One way that you can show your thanksgiving this morning is to come and become a Christian. Jesus has died on the cross. He's paved the way. He's planned the way. You just simply need to come and be baptized into Christ. We can show our thanksgiving by being back this evening. We can show our thanksgiving by being an active member of this congregation, by being unified, by working together. Our children are watching us. Our grandchildren are watching us. Let's put on Christ and show them that thankful disposition that we need to have. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?